Welcome to Burnside at Home. It's Richard here, welcoming you to another time of worship. Next week, we plan to open up our church building, and you're very welcome to come and join with us at 11 o'clock for our Sunday morning service. But we also plan to record the service and still have online, and indeed, this audio version on the phone line and podcast as well. Obviously, things change very quickly. There's always the possibility of a local lockdown being introduced. But as long as we're allowed to, we plan to start services next Sunday. We want to welcome you to our services, but please bear in mind that to keep everyone as safe as possible, we have had to change things. Please don't feel compelled to come the first week. If you feel uncomfortable, we'd rather start with small numbers and slowly build up over the weeks. We'll gauge what the interest is like and see how often we have services in the near future. Just a few ideas that need to be adhered to. I mentioned these last week, I'll just go through them quickly again this week. When you arrive, we ask you to wear a face covering and to sanitize your hands as you enter the building, even if you have already washed your hands before leaving home. Keep any coats with you, as the cloakroom and the toilets will be closed. Disabled toilet will be available for emergencies. There will also be increased ventilation in the church, and therefore it may be cooler than normal, so you may well need your coat with you. Please observe the 2 metre distancing at all times. Whenever I'm standing at the front preaching, I will be 4 metres away from the front pew to again make sure that distancing takes place. Please keep that distancing as you enter the building. Entry is by the front door, unless it is raining, in which case you will enter by the rear door and then queue at a social distance through the main hall. There'll be markers on the floor and you'll be signalled to proceed forward when the one in front is available. There'll be no handshaking, of course. To minimise people walking past each other, you'll be brought in and assigned to a pew to sit in. And once you sit down, please do not move to another location. And you'll be starting at the front of the church, working towards the back. Please don't touch the door handles, the surfaces, the backs of the pews. Doors will be open for you. They'll be kept open to increase ventilation. And we ask you to bring your own Bible, as there'll be no pew Bibles. We won't be giving out hymn books, and there'll be no announcement sheets. The service will be a lot shorter than normal, so children are asked to stay with their parents throughout. It'll probably be about half an hour the first week. We'll not be singing the first week. When we do start singing, it will only be very quiet pieces and will be kept to a minimum. We'll then empty the church from the rear pew first. Please wait until you're instructed to leave and maintain the 2 metre distance as you do walk out. Please don't stop to talk to anyone until you're outside in the car park, and again, keep that 2 metre distance. I know that sounds like a lot of regulations, but we want everyone to be as safe as possible, and we want you to enjoy the time that we do spend together, glorifying God and enjoying His presence. Coming up today, we have a service about grace, amazing grace, following on from last week as we were thinking about forgiveness. Eric Leslie is going to lead us in the Lord's Prayer, and Joe Nevin is going to read from Titus chapter 2. Please also remember that when songs are mentioned in this recording, they won't be included in it. Also, remember, beside the burn, the Bible study should be available here from Tuesday onwards, and this week the study develops last week's theme of forgiveness. So let's worship God together. Welcome to Burnside at Home. It is great that you're joining with us as we worship online together. This is the 24th week that we have been worshiping with Burnside at Home. It's hard to believe 24 weeks since we last met together in this building, but this is a very special occasion this week, because next week we're going to be opening the doors, not just for me to come in with a video camera to record the service, but we're going to open the doors that you can come and join with us next Sunday. Now, of course, it's going to be very different from the last time that we met together. There'll be all sorts of precautions and guidelines put in place. There'll be another little video that you can watch, which will give you all the information that you need. And there's also an information sheet which you can read through so that you're prepared for what's going to happen next week. Now, can I say at this stage, do not feel compelled to come and join with us next week. I know that's an odd thing to be saying at the start of a service, but if you're not ready to come and join with us, please stay at home for a little while longer. We'll still be producing Burnside at Home, so you can watch along and you can see what's happening in the church as well. We'd rather next week start with very low numbers and then build them up gradually till we see how everything works and how everyone fits into the building, and to see whether we need an overflow and what needs to happen. Do come along if you would like to. We'd love to have you here next week, but do be prepared for a few little teething problems as we get everything sorted out and get everybody into our building to worship together. Maybe remember last week we were thinking about forgiveness, and as we were thinking about forgiveness last week, a great hymn came to mind, Amazing Grace, the grace of Jesus Christ, that our sins are forgiven through what Jesus has done for us. And the more and more I thought about that hymn in preparing for last week and then into this week, I thought, why don't we focus upon the wonderful themes of that hymn in our service this week? That as we're preparing to meet together next week in person rather than just online, let's focus on the grace of Jesus Christ and all that Jesus has done for us in his amazing grace. So that's what we're going to be thinking about today. We're going to sing a couple of different versions of the hymn together. We're going to think about the story of John Newton, and we're going to look at a passage from God's Word where we think about grace and the uniqueness of that grace and how the unique grace, the amazing grace of Jesus Christ, changes us and makes us unique in God's presence. So, as we come to worship today, it is by God's grace that we gather for worship, and it is by God's grace that our lives are changed. We are counting on the active and amazing grace of God today, and we pray that God's Holy Spirit will enliven our worship, that even though we are apart, we may know his blessing. We pray now that the Lord God would help us in our actions to be faithful followers of Jesus. And for this we give Almighty God thanks. So let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in prayer, and we give thanks for your amazing grace, the grace that comes from Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. We thank you for all that Jesus has given to us on the cross, that he went there and stood in our place, offered himself as a sacrifice so that our sins could be forgiven. And so, Lord, we seek your forgiveness today, and we ask for your grace and your mercy. Be with us now throughout our service. We come to you, Lord, seeking that forgiveness, confessing our sin to you, and asking, Lord, that this time would be filled with your mercy. So, Lord, watch over us now, we pray, and guide us throughout this time of worship. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to begin our time of worship with a wonderful version of Amazing Grace, and it's sung by Andrea Pacelli, and it's from his Easter worship that he offered to us online at Easter this year. So, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Today then, we're considering this amazing grace that God grants to us and that God gives to us. And we're basing it all around the great hymn by John Newton. And of course, you may know a little bit of the story of John Newton. I want to read to you a little excerpt that I found that gives just a quick little summary of what John was doing and how he came to experience
this amazing grace that God and that Jesus Christ has purchased for us. St. Augustine once wrapped a powerful thought in vivid imagery whenever he said, God always pours his grace into empty hands. No one's hands could have been emptier than John Newton's. His father commanded a merchant ship and was always at sea. His mother raised him as best she could, teaching him the scriptures and sacred songs. Sadly, his mother died just before his 17th birthday, and it would be his father's footsteps in which John would follow. By the time he was 17, John's world was the open sea. The world of the Spirit, as lovingly taught by his mother, had vanished over the horizon and was lost at sea, much like John Newton's own soul. In his own words, John's delight and habitual practice was wickedness, and he neither feared God nor regarded men. In short, he was a slave to doing wickedness and delighted in sinfulness. After a short stint in England's wartime navy, John was dishonourably discharged and then made his way to Africa aboard a freighter. In the shadow of the Dark Continent, John Newton was finally hired aboard a slave ship, where African men, women and children were treated like cargo and shipped across the Atlantic as slaves. Then in March of 1748, somewhere in the middle of the North Atlantic, grace arrived. The hand of God rescued a shipwrecked soul. A violent storm had engulfed the small slave ship. All hands were awake. Voices were shouting with urgency. Water was beginning to flood the hold. Newton wondered if this was how it was all going to end. Entombed on the ocean floor. Then something remarkable happened. John Newton began praying. Later, he would surrender his life to Jesus and eventually become a pastor. He preached the gospel until the old age of 81. Newton especially loved crafting sermons and hymns together. Reflecting on his life as a slave trader and his conversion to Christ, John Newton wrote the cherished hymn, Amazing Grace. So it truly is amazing grace that God has sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us, that whenever we were in bondage, we've now been set free. Whenever we were blind, we've now been given vision to see what is true and what is right in our lives. And so John Newton sums it up in the great hymn. We've already sung it at the beginning of our service, and we're going to sing another version towards the end of our service. But I want us also to look at Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. And Joe Nevin's going to read that for us in just a moment. But in these verses from Titus chapter 2, just simply five verses, there is a tremendous statement of the amazing grace of God. It's a wonderful little passage, just these few verses. But in that passage, as Joe reads it, you're going to notice two appearings of Christ. The first appearing is in verse 11. The second one is in verse 13. It gives us the beginning of the Christian life, which is grace that we've been thinking about so much today. It also brings us to the end of the Christian life, the glory that will be revealed in us through Jesus Christ. And the passage also gives us the three tenses, as it were, of the Christian life. It gives us our past salvation. It gives us our present sanctification. And then it leads us towards our future glorification. So five simple verses, but yet there's so much truth about God's grace in them. And we're going to look at them in a little bit more detail. But first, Joe's going to read from them now.
For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Amen.
So wonderful verses, but the key to those verses is really found in verse 11, the grace of God. And it comes as no surprise that that's what we're thinking about today. And that grace of God opens up these verses and what we are to live for Jesus Christ about. John Newton called it amazing grace. And this grace that Jesus Christ brings to us, this amazing grace, leads us into a unique life. So today we're just going to simply look at the uniqueness of being a Christian, the uniqueness of following Jesus Christ, the uniqueness of receiving his grace in our lives. And we're just going to look at a few different unique things together. And the first thing that we find is grace is a unique display. It's how God displays his love for us. Grace displays the wonders of Almighty God to us. And you can see that in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And here in Titus 2 and verse 11, it's almost like the incarnation that we read about in John chapter 1 as Jesus comes into this earth. He has appeared. But here we're thinking about the grace having appeared through Jesus. And it displays, demonstrates for us the wonderful love of God. It's an exhibition of God's amazing grace. It shows us that God has poured out his forgiveness to us through what Jesus has done. And there's no one else that can deal with our sin in this way but Jesus Christ. There's nothing else in all the world that can sort out our sin but Jesus Christ. So this is unique. You think of some of the great displays that you go to see, some of the great exhibitions that you've been to, and the wonders that are set before you. All of these things just pale into insignificance compared to what Jesus Christ has done on the cross in bringing his grace to us. So not only is it a unique display, but grace comes from a unique character. Verse 13 of Titus 2, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So here we see that this grace, this amazing grace, comes from the unique character of Jesus Christ. There's nobody else who could purchase this grace for us. There's nobody else who could help us in such a way to get rid of our sin. Jesus is God. He's not just a great man, but he is a great God. He became man so that we could have forgiveness, so that his grace could be displayed in this unique way. But it's a unique character of Jesus Christ that he is both God and man. Only a great God and a great Savior can save our soul and take away our sin. Sin is the biggest problem that has ever existed. Sin is the one problem that human beings can do nothing about. We pride ourselves with our science and our technology and all our great plans and ideas, but there is nothing that we can do about sin except rely on the grace of Jesus Christ. And so that's why this grace is so important. So it comes from the unique character of Jesus. Then thirdly, grace is a unique gift. We see that in the first part of verse 14. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Who gave himself for us to redeem us. A unique gift in Jesus giving himself. I wonder what is the best gift you've received, or maybe even what's the best gift that you've ever given somebody? You can spend lots and lots of money. You can spend lots of time choosing a particular gift. But sometimes the most important thing that we can give to somebody else is simply ourselves, to give of our time, to give of our experience, to give of our talents and our skills. And that makes an impact. Sometimes whenever somebody is going through a troubled time, simply to give yourself and to spend some time with that person means everything to them. And so we have this unique gift of grace that comes from Jesus Christ. He gave himself. Grace is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. You cannot separate Jesus from grace or grace from Jesus. We receive Jesus and we receive the grace that God has given to us through his death and resurrection. For a man to lay down his life for a friend is great, John says in chapter 15 and verse 13. And that is man at his best, laying down his life. But the remarkable thing about Jesus is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so that is God at his best. That even though there was no merit, we might do something for a friend, but Jesus did it for somebody who was openly hostile to him, somebody who was against everything that he stood for. And so it is a unique gift that comes from Jesus Christ. Then fourthly, we see that grace is a unique work. And we see that in the second part of verse 14, where we read that Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. This is a unique work that Jesus is involved in. The work of Christ stated here is to redeem and to purify, to purchase and to cleanse. You think at the moment the levels of hygiene that we are experiencing. You can't do anything unless it is cleaned first. Whenever you walk into a shop, you're asked to sanitize your hands. Whenever you walk into any building, you're asked to sanitize and to clean and to make sure that germs are eradicated, to make things as safe as possible, to reduce the risk as much as possible. But Jesus comes to cleanse and to purify. And he does that by redeeming us and by purchasing us back. He comes to redeem us on the cross through his blood. And the redemption comes by the ransom being paid. Sin deserves death. And so Jesus pays that penalty of death. He takes it upon himself to set us free. This is a unique work that Jesus is involved in. What a wonderful privilege that he has given to us. And then finally, I want us to see that grace results in a unique people. And again, we see that in verse 14, towards the end of verse 14. And we see that there, that he gave himself up to redeem us from all wickedness, to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. And that's why Jesus has redeemed us. That's why he gives us this amazing grace, so that sins are forgiven and so that he now has a people who are his very own. He purchases us. He redeems us to himself. He doesn't just redeem us and then set us off to live any old life that we want. He wants us for himself. He cares about us. He longs for us. So don't think today that just because you have sinned, you can turn to God and you can receive forgiveness and then get on with life. No, if you receive forgiveness, if you accept Jesus Christ, then you are bound to him and you cannot escape him. He will be with you. And grace makes us a unique people. Because of grace in Jesus Christ, we've got a unique birth that comes through spirit and through truth. We've got a unique citizenship. We no longer belong to this earth, but we belong to heaven, and we live as citizens of heaven here on earth. We've got new things to do because Jesus has called us into his service. And so it's unique. This grace has given us this unique life. And then also grace leads to a unique life. We see that in verse 12. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. That's different from the way that others live this life. Grace gives us this ability to say no and to want to say no to ungodliness and to live in a self-controlled way that honours God. And so if you've received grace today, then God wants you, God indeed calls you to this unique life in him. And then also it brings us a unique prospect. Looking ahead in verse 13, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, we look ahead to Jesus coming back again. This unique prospect that he's not just a God who came here for a short time and then left and that's him finished with earth. He's coming back again. He's coming back to take those that he's redeemed unto himself. We have this wonderful, blessed hope that Jesus is coming back again. And so in verse 13, we have the second appearing of Jesus Christ. He comes, first of all, to bring us grace, and then he comes in glory, to glorify us so that we can be with him for all eternity. It seems strange, of course, that Jesus should say so many times, "Behold, I come quickly." He said at least three times in the book of Revelation, "I come quickly." And now here we are over 2,000 years later and still he hasn't come. So has he forgotten his promise? Has he forgotten about you and I? Is he not coming back again? Was that just a little ploy to ease the pain of the disciples whenever he left them? "Oh, don't worry, I'm coming again quickly." Well, of course not. He hasn't forgotten about us. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So Jesus is slow in keeping his promise for our own good. He wants to see as many as possible repent and come to him. He doesn't want to have to punish those who don't trust in him. So he hasn't forgotten. He is coming quickly, and so we better be ready for that day whenever he comes, but he has given us this moment to come. It always frightens me on a Sunday whenever I preach in church and say things like this, because I realize that God could very easily come before the end of the service. I always realize that God could come before we get home. He might return in glory, his second coming, or he might just return an individual. And somebody who's listening, or indeed even myself as I speak the words, might not make it to the following Sunday. He might call us home. He might call us to judgment. And then the opportunity of repentance will have gone. And it always frightens me that whenever I say these things, that people don't take them seriously. They don't think that it will happen to them. And so therefore, they put it off. And if coronavirus has taught us anything, it can happen to us. It can happen to the whole world. And we need to repent and we need to turn to God. And that's one of the things that worries me greatly about this whole coronavirus situation, is that we as a world have not repented the way that we should. God is calling our attention and we haven't turned to him and repented the way that we should do. And so he's still calling out to us. But the thing that worries me now is that I am preparing, I'm speaking this message, recording it during the week. Jesus Christ could return before anyone hears this message. Jesus Christ could return before you get to click on your computer and watch this video. And in a way, that frightens me. That we need to be ready and we need to hear. We need to trust in this amazing grace. So if you do make it to hear this message today. And I hope and pray that we all do. Remember the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. Remember that whenever we're blind, that grace opens up our eyes so that we can see. Whenever we are slaves, he sets us free. In a moment or two, we're going to sing a version of Amazing Grace. And it's a wonderful version that we've sung many times recently, but it adds in that great chorus. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love. Amazing grace. That's the message today. That Jesus Christ has ransomed us. He has set us free. And like a flood, his mercy rains down upon us. His amazing grace. And so we worship him and we praise him. So let's pray together before we sing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. Help us, Lord, not to set it aside and forget about it, but help us to come to Jesus and trust in him today and find forgiveness for our sins. For Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Normally, whenever we're singing, I try to find videos with the words on them so that you can sing along. I wasn't able to find the original version of Amazing Grace, a good version of it with the words, so we had the Andrea Pacelli one at the beginning of our service. We're now going to sing the Chris Tomlin version of Amazing Grace with that chorus that I've just mentioned. And again, I'm not using a version with lyrics, but hopefully you know the words and you can sing along at home. And look, I encourage you to sing along. I know if you're on your own, it's probably easier. If there are others sitting with you at this very point, you're going to look at each other rather sheepishly and think, can I really sing in front of these people? But do you? It's what we do as Christians. We don't just watch songs. We sing them, we live them. So if you know the words, sing them out. But this video I've chosen in particular because it intersperses some scenes from the film Amazing Grace, which is all about John Newton's life. And hopefully this week on the blog, I'll put a few links to some videos and to some articles about John Newton. And you may be able to watch the film. I think it's certainly available on Amazon Prime, might be available on other things as well. But as Chris sings the song and those wonderful words of Amazing Grace, you'll see the pictures from the film. And it will show you the amazing grace that God showed to John Newton. And how he was able to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me.